So, have you ever felt far removed from God? Have you ever felt everyone was against you? Have you ever felt all alone? I'm sure most of us have felt this way one time or another. In my own life, from time to time, I have felt isolated, depressed, stressed, outraged, angry, despondent, and the list goes on. And I know some of you are probably surprised by that. This morning I would like to read from the Psalms. It's about an individual who feels great despair. But I would like us to pay a close attention to how he processes this and journeys through it. I believe this was likely David who authored this psalm that we are about to read. We know that there was some stressful times for him, such as when he was fleeing from Saul or Absalom. I know that David had a talent with music and poetry, and this psalm has a poetic song-like flow to it. I'm also calling this psalm a single psalm, even though we're going to be reading from Psalm 42 and 43 this morning. It is generally accepted as one psalm. In some of the early manuscripts, it was written as one psalm. Also, the repeated refrains bring the two psalms together. I believe it'll be evident as we read through it to why it is believed to be one psalm. Shall we read? As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I find this to be one of the most beautiful psalms and poetic psalms. The beautiful imagery, allusions, symmetry, and the structure all make this psalm flow so wonderfully as you read it. We instantly recognize this psalm from the first verse as we are reminded of a song, As the Deer, written by Martin Nystrom in 1984. It has proven to be one of the defining songs of the praise chorus era. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longed after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. The words of this song are based on the beginning of the Psalm 42. And just looking at that verse alone, it seems that the words of the song capture the encouraging, worshipful, and beautiful sense intended by the psalmist. It is the idealized, romanticized interpretation, the encouraging part, without the rest. Yet, as one looks past the first verse to a deeper literary study of the psalm, it reveals something quite different. One finds words of utter desperation and anguish, not the gentle smiles and bowed hearts inferred by the song. One can easily overlook the despair the psalmist finds himself in as we read this beautiful song. The psalmist here is in the depths of despair as a result of separation from the temple of God, where God was worshipped, verses 1 and 2. Taunts of unbelievers in verses 3 and 10. The overwhelming trials of life in verse 7. Failure of God to act quickly on our behalf in verse 9. Attacks from ungodly, deceitful, and wicked people in 43:1. Good thing we don't have those kind of people today. Add to this list any personal maladies, physical pains, relationship strife, and just the stuff of life, and you will find the concoction in this psalm is enough to plunge one into the depths of despair. Yet, when you read and meditate on this psalm, you see not only how a Christian can be in this depression, but how a hurting Christian hopes. To move from despair to godly living depends entirely on the grace of God to reach us and sustain us in those difficult times. Unless God takes the first step, we would remain spiritually dead and bruised by the avalanche of our own despair. However, for those who have received the light and truth of the Holy Spirit, who causes us to walk in God's statutes, there is an invitation, and indeed an expectation, all through the Scriptures, that the children of God have the spirit of adoption, prompting them to pray and take hold of the promises and draw near to the Father by faith in order to find grace. Let us look at a few of these Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of our knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Ezekiel 36:26-27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. James 4:8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And finally, Hebrews 4:14-16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All these verses and more testify that God will never forsake us or leave us, no matter our circumstances or when we find ourselves in a pit of despair trying to claw our way out. He is there with us. In this psalm, we find the psalmist processing his situation. And we find in this psalm, I believe, four ways he combats despair. First, thirst for God, as I'm thirsting now. Perhaps one of the most beautiful verses in the Psalter starts this psalm. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. When you read this first verse, the furthest thing from your mind is despair and depression. The psalmist's starting point when fighting deep despair was a deep longing for God. As Christians, there will be times in our lives when despair comes. We need to continue with our thirst for God. We need to have a strong relationship with God as the psalmist had. The imagery is one of deep thirst, one that lasts. A deer in the desert looking and longing for life-giving water. We need this longing for the living God. So in keeping with this water imagery, let me share a story of how strong we should long for God. There is an ancient tale from India about a young man who was seeking God. He went to a wise old sage for some help. And he said, "How can I find God?" Well, the old man said, took him to a nearby river, and out they waded into the deep water. Soon the water was up to their chin, and suddenly the old man reached out and seized the young man by the neck and took him under the water and held him there. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing away in the water, trying to get air. He was in desperation. Another minute, and he may well have drowned. Up out of the water, the two of them came. The young man was coughing water from his lungs and still grasping for air. And when he finally reached the bank, he asked the old man indignantly, he said, "What did that have to do with my finding God?" Probably the same question we would have asked. The old man responded quietly, "Well, you were under the water. What did you want more than anything else?" The young man thought for a moment, and then he answered, "Well, I wanted air. I wanted air more than anything else." To which the old man replied, "When you want God as much as you wanted air, you will find him." That should be our longing for God, where seeking God is what we want more than anything else, as much as the air we breathe. So how do we seek him? And how do we long for God? Well, study the word continually. We read God's word for a day or maybe two and we expect immediate change. Then we are tempted to quit. Well, it doesn't work that way. Not usually. God's word often works in a slower, more imperceptible ways. It works the way a healthy diet and exercise cleanses the body and strengthens the heart. Reading the word renews the mind over time. Rarely does the onset of Bible reading function like a quick fix operation. Thus, keep reading. Keep memorizing. Don't give up. God never abandons his word, and he never abandons those who seek him in regular reading of his word. The next thing I believe the psalmist tells us in combating despair is talk to yourself. Wow, that's an interesting one. What is one to do when all you've had for breakfast is tears, followed by a late night snack of sorrow? The answer of the psalmist sounds as strange as the question. Talk to your soul. The Psalms beckon us to talk to ourselves. Often when people are talking to themselves, we think that they're a little bit funny, crazy. However, Psalms like this one and others teach us that the crazy ones are those who simply listen to the nagging, complaining, angry voices that ricochet around in our hearts. The main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself, preach to yourself, and question yourself. you must say to your soul, why art thou downcast? What business have you to be disturbed? You must turn on yourself, unbraid yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope in God, instead of muttering in this depressed and happy way. Then having done that, end on this great note, defy yourself and defy other people. Defy the devil and defy the whole world with this man, for I shall again praise him, my Savior and my God. Who here has not gone over in their own mind or said out loud chastising words when you've done something very stupid? We all have. From God's word, we receive soothing, healing, liberating truths that free us from sin and enable us to run to Christ. Therefore, continue to give ear to God's word. Learn how to preach the promises to yourself. Take yourself in hand. Look yourself in the eyes and preach the message. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. If I can't change my circumstances, how does God want me to change my attitude? The psalmist here is aggressive in confronting himself. Three times he does it, to deal with his despair so that he can regain a sense of God's presence. He can't change his circumstances, but he can change his focus from himself to his overwhelming situation to a focus on God. By the end of the psalm, his circumstances haven't changed, but his attitude has, because he has deliberately focused on the Lord. We are commanded in the Bible to rejoice in the Lord always. The only way to obey the command sincerely is to change our attitude by changing our focus from self to God. Three times he confronts himself, gives us the sense that there is a process to battling despair. It is often doesn't happen overnight. I'm reminded of a story of C.S. Lewis when his wife died. Faced with this terrible loss, Lewis's reasoned reflections were of no comfort to him. So he began to rage against God for taking his wife. In his uncontrollable grief, he talked to himself, or he took the writer's way of talking to himself. He wrote a journal, describing his day-to-day battle with despair. When at last he regained his senses and emerged again into the light, his circumstances hadn't changed, but his attitude and focus did. He later decided to publish this work, but realizing that his treatment of pain was very different from his previous reasoning about it, so he did not attach his real name to it. He used a pseudonym, C.W. Clerk. The book was later published under his real name after his death, A Grief Observed. So like the psalmist, we must listen, we must chide ourselves out of despair. The third thing for combating despair, and this is the one I struggle with, because I don't have any memory, it says remember. The psalmist's retrospection. He begins by calling to mind those glorious seasons of corporate celebration at the temple of God in verse 4. This was no doubt a bittersweet experience, for it both aggravates his distress, because he's far from it right now, so he's in the midst of his despair, and it alleviates it, because he's confident that one day he will return. But that is what remembering does. We are in a desperate situation, but now there is hope. We will be brought out of it into the arms of God stronger. In his present circumstance, life is pounding in on him like waves and billows, and he reminds himself of God's steadfast affection for himself in verse 8. And at night his song is with him. Nighttime is for many an extremely hard time. I know for me it is, when you're going through some struggles. The darkness and the turmoil of the heart combine to make night times difficult. Anxiety takes hold of our minds, and thoughts race going from one thought to the next until you think you're going to go crazy. The psalmist tells us to turn our thoughts to remembering God's promises and better times. And this will lead to worshiping the Lord and singing to him during those night times. Now, I don't recommend this in the house because you might wake everyone up. But you can do this in the quietness of your mind when you lay down to sleep. This serves to give you the peace of God and calmness of mind and heart. We must be disciplined and not let our minds run away with the thoughts of despair. We need to focus our attention in remembering better times where God has blessed us and remember his promises. Paul tells us we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God. Who is God? And what is God? And what God has done and what God has pledged himself to do. It is important to remember God's workings in our lives. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, Paul tells Timothy. The fourth and last thing I believe the psalmist tells us in combating despair, and it's the obvious one, prayer. The psalm then becomes the prayer of one who is a pilgrim on earth and still finds himself in contact with evil and suffering, but has the certainty that the end point of history is not the abyss of death, but rather a saving encounter with our Savior. The psalmist's prayer is to send truth and light to guide him back to the Lord's presence. This certainly resonates with us Christians, because that truth and light we know to be Jesus. For in John tells us, I have come into the world as a light so that no one believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the divine response, the answer of God, which are found on the lips of the psalmist, thus on ours as we read and sing this song. We learn much of the nature of prayer in these psalms. The psalmist gives vent to his fears and confusion, not merely in an emotional, cathartic way, but in a focused expression of faith that the God who acted graciously on behalf in the past would do so yet again in the future. He is up front with God, telling it to him straight. He assumes that God is big enough to take it and loving enough to absorb it. That is the prayer we have as Christians. The psalmist, through all the despair, never loses hope. He suffers through much. There was no quick fix to his circumstances. He perseveres. This is a lesson for us when we face despair. We need to thirst and seek after God continually. We need to talk or preach at ourselves the promises and faithfulness of God. We need to remember all the time how wonderful, beautiful, and faithful a God we serve. And finally, we need to pray and be direct with God. He is a loving God, full of mercy and grace, and understands our frustrations. As a Christian, it is obvious that we will encounter despair and depression at times, but we have Christ and the promises of God to hold to. We see the psalmist move from despair to a beautiful hope and faith that God will lead him back to his wonderful presence as he continues to thirst for God, talk to himself, remember and pray. Let that be our response. I'd like to call the worship team back as we close in prayer. Our dear Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you are a faithful, loving, merciful, gracious God. Lord, that even when we are in our downtimes, you will never leave us or forsake us. that you are there with us, Lord. And Lord, that you are big enough and loving, Lord, that you can take whatever we can throw at you, Lord. Lord, as those struggles can be very difficult at times, Lord, and your presence seems so far away, help us to continue to remember you, to seek you, Lord, to chastise ourselves back out of the abyss and pray continually. Go with us now this week, Lord. We ask in your wonderful, precious name. Amen.